Chapter 11. Friday, February 18th, 1881. Springfield, Tennessee. The mob outside the courthouse is larger than ever, completely encircling the courthouse and into the street in all directions. Sheriff Jones and his men have a difficult time escorting the defendants into the courtroom, which by this time is standing room only. Even the stairway and halls are blocked with spectators and are nearly impassable. Bill Murphy, with his head bandaged, is with them. Finally, the defendants are seated and the trial gets underway. Judge Stark calls the court to order.
In the case of State versus Jim Higgins et al., is the defense ready to proceed?
We are, Your Honor, announced Hicks.
Then call your first witness.
The defense called Jim Elder. Elder takes the stand and Sheriff Jones swears him in.
Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do, replies Elder.
Hicks asked several questions, trying to establish an alibi of his whereabouts on the night of the murder. It failed miserably. Bell tore him up on cross-examination. The same thing happened with Lum Small, then Mallory, then Thweet. They could not come up with an alibi on the night in question. Higgins refused to testify on his behalf. He sat silently in his seat and stared at what was left of his foot. Having no more witnesses, the defense rested. After closing arguments from Wick Ware and Attorney General Bell, Judge Stark charges the jury and hands them the case. The jury retires to the jury room to deliberate. As all charges against Murphy and Duffy are dropped in the plea bargain, Judge Stark has no choice but to dismiss Duffy and Murphy. It is out of his hands.
May God have mercy on your souls. Now leave my courtroom and I hope I never see either one of you again.
William Murphy and Anthony Duffy walk out of the Robertson County Courthouse as free men and, as promised, are escorted out of town under guard. This was to be the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. Sheriff Jones and 8 armed deputies start to escort the defendants back to jail to await the verdict, when literally all hell breaks loose. The angry mob rushes into the courtroom and fires several gunshots into the air. The mob leader yells, "Lights out!" and the courtroom goes dark as the lights are quickly extinguished. Utter chaos erupts as the court members and spectators scramble for their safety. Some even jump from the second floor windows into the lawn below. Attorney General Bell again tries to persuade the mob to let justice take its course, but this time the mob is not listening, and Bell almost gets shot in the process. He makes his escape through a window and injures his leg when he lands on the lawn below. Sheriff Jones and his deputies attempt to guard the defendants, but they are no match for the mob. The mob leader shoves his pistol against Sheriff Jones' head and says,
"Don't even think about it, Sheriff."
The deputies stand down and watch helplessly as Bob Thweet, Lum Small, Jim Higgins, and Locke Mallory are wrangled to the floor and bound hand and foot. Each gets a noose cinched around his neck, and the free end of the rope is securely attached to the balcony railing. One by one, they are thrown off the balcony and swing to their death. Jim Elder is the only one who makes any struggle, and he is quickly thrown down, bound hand and foot, and then hanged with the others. In his struggle, his rope gets intertwined with Higgins, and they hang face to face. Following the lynching, the mob stands guard over the bodies until they are sure that all the defendants are dead and their work is completed. The commander asks the mob, "Are you satisfied?" Whereby a yell of approval accompanied by over 100 gunshots was the reply. He then gives the order, "Disperse, my men, to your homes," and the executioners, some 200 in number, immediately depart, going on horseback in 3 different directions. One group rides north toward Adams, and just before crossing the state line, they come across none other than Anthony Duffy. He attempts to run and hide in the woods, but is quickly overtaken and at the mercy of the lynch mob. He begs for his life. They show him the same mercy he showed LaPrade. That evening, the mob found William Murphy hiding in a tobacco barn just outside of Cedar Hill. Like Duffy, he was shown the same mercy he afforded Laprade. The following morning, Duffy's lifeless and bullet-riddled body is found hanging from a tree beside the road leading to Guthrie, Kentucky. Later that same day, Murphy was found to have suffered the same fate as his cohorts, hanging by his neck from a tear pole and riddled with bullets.